Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This fourth day of November 2005. Glad you've joined us this morning. Guest host with me today is Mr. Greg Ferrier. Hello, Greg.
Good morning.
And our weather today is partly cloudy, highs in the mid-70s, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Currently in Greenville, it's 48 degrees. Downtown, and Greenville and Spartanburg are 48 degrees. Greenville downtown, 46. Anderson, 41. And Clemson, 47. So, Greg, what's on the agenda for today?
Well, you told me the other day that I was going to be here, and you told the people that we were going to speak about eschatology, creation, if we could. And we've got somebody on the line. Okay. Anyway, we were going to speak in terms of creation. We had you'd read an article on the Big Bang and how scientists, so-called, had found radiation from the energy generated by the Big Bang. Okay. And right. Now we have evidence that that the Big Bang occurred so many billion years ago. Now, I was asked to come in here and chat about this. So, are we about ready to comment on that? Well, you know what's happening here is Dr. Coben is flying the plane, and That weather report that he gave seems to me that the weather is okay to fly it. We just need to make sure that we're pushing all the right buttons and pulling on the right stick. Back to the creation situation. It's been my experience having rubbed shoulders with some pretty good creationists, men of knowledge and men that have been around and experienced in the creation movement. Dr. Patterson, Dr. Al Anderson, John Orcutt, a whole bunch of other people on the creation study group that have put their hearts and minds into refuting evolution and more than that, standing up for creation and scientific creationism. I'm hoping that some of that has rubbed off on me. I don't claim to be a scientist, but I have rubbed shoulders and stuck my nose into the creation movement as opposed to evolution. Having been a victim of the public schools all these years, I've been out of that situation for a while. And one of the things that perhaps has had crippled me or kept me out of the kingdom was the doctrine of evolution, because evolution is something that is actually contrary to the Bible.
Okay, good. Well, I appreciate that introduction, Greg. You know, yesterday we had a great time in here talking about this ridiculous story about finding the initial light that formed the hydrogen gas and so forth, supposedly after the Big Bang, and this nonsense of talking, this great faith that people have that out of nothing sprang something, they don't know how, just there and then blew up and created all this wonderful stuff that we have. So appreciate those comments, Greg, and reminds me of all that talk we had yesterday about this evolution nonsense.
Did you ever hear the expression, I believe it came out of medieval times, where Satan was known as the ape of God?
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Okay,
no.
You know what an ape does? An ape, according to common knowledge, when he sees you do something, he'll try and do it himself. He's got, you know, two arms, two legs, and so forth. He'll watch you do something, and he'll try and do that himself. I remember seeing something on one of these travelogues on television years ago where there was, over in Africa, there was a field where it was a tobacco field, and of course the native people over there grew the tobacco, and they would take them and they would cure it out on these big long rods, like a bamboo pole, and they'd put them horizontally, put them up horizontally on the on the poles, and they would tie the tobacco leaves and lay them over these rods. Well, off there in the forest, in the jungle, there was these monkeys, and they were out there, and they were watching. And they were watching the people tie up the tobacco, put them on the rods, all in nice, neat little order. Well, what happens at night, the monkeys figure, hey, that's a good idea. I think I'm going to go out, and they would imitate the people. They would come out there and they would wreck the tobacco. They come out there and make like they were going to copy the people, only, you know, not being intelligent in that way. They would just get out there and tear the tobacco leaves off the rods and leave it in a big mess when the people came back to do that. Mm. All that to say, that's just an example of how monkeys or different animals would imitate people.
Mm.
And, you know, they watch them, and yeah, like a bird, a parrot can imitate how...
Yeah, that's where we get our English word aping. He's aping them in the man.
You know, or parrot somebody.
Right.
You know, I know...
Parroting reflects... correct me if I'm wrong. Just how... What people say.
Mm-hmm.
If you, you're aping somebody, you're reflecting their behavior.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just thinking a parrot does copy us.
Right.
I saw one the other day in a pet shop that whistled the theme to the Andy Griffith Show, if you could believe that.
Mm.
All right, anyway, the point being that Satan, being the ape of God, he's always got a fake or a fraud or a copy of something that God has instituted,
okay.
A copy of eschatology. You remember I brought that big fat book in here a few weeks ago, Communist Eschatology. The Bible and God have an eschatology, the final things, or as things will pan out from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Satan or the communists have an eschatology.
Mm-hmm.
The evolutionists have an eschatology. Do you remember years ago, I think it might have been Time Life Books, used to have a... they published a book, and it talked, it had this big depiction of how the Earth came out of the Big Bang, and how it, you know, it was a molten mass, and then it came into, gradually came into what we see now, and then it began to show how the Earth was going to all go out and fizzle out again. That was put into the minds of many kids my age back in the 50s and 60s. Do you remember that depiction at all?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, when I went to the Government Indoctrination Center, the Pagan Seminary, one facet of paganism that was rammed down my throat was this idea of evolution. And, of course, I never had a chance when I was a young boy to think through some of these things, but it was just accepted fact. This is the way it was, and this is the way we could expect it to be.
Oh.
And evolutionists have their own eschatology, you know. I mean, it's a religion just like the Christian religion. They believe the sun will last about 5 billion years and that it'll burn out, and eventually we'll all go to oblivion unless we've been able to advance ourselves to the next stage of existence and space travel and living on other planets and so forth. That's their vision of eschatology, that man saves himself one day by moving out of the natural way of natural forces.
Yeah, well, that's the Marxist in that book. Nigel Lee quotes, I guess it was Engels or Marx, I forget which one it was, but basically the planet just freezes and then it all kind of drops into the sun and we're all obliterated. What a wonderful future.
Right, no kidding. Yeah, it's not much of a future at all, but that's the way it is with evolution.
But we do escape judgment.
Yes.
Yeah, which is another one of man's ways of getting away from God, at least in his imagination.
Right, and yes, it is man's attempt to eliminate or find a way that he can escape judgment there is a judgment to come when the sun burns out, but it's escapable by man. If he's truly wise, prudent, ingenious, and so forth, he can make it out. And that's what it's all about, I think, with their religion.
Yeah, or complete annihilation, however the little variations amongst the Marxists goes. All right, it looks like we have to take a break for a moment, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955.
Have you killed
calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
A patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government. Edward Abbey.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have Chuck on the line here. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be on with you again.
Yeah, go right ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I was interested in your topic about how the common culture of science seems to be anti-God, and I wanted to throw in an observation I made years ago from reading science journals, because I came along with science and engineering background and so forth, and it seems to me that what most scientists are doing is working backwards from what they know to be the answer. In other words, their worldview is there is no God. There has to be some mechanistic reason for everything. There has to be some mechanistic origin. We're working backwards from that. If you come along and start talking about God, it's as if you could have the best constructed argument you want, but you know, if you've got an argument that says, you know, the Easter Bunny created the world, that has just exactly the same validity with most of those people that God would do. You know, or you could say the fairies did it or whatever. It all fits into one big cloud of mythological figures, and it's impossible for them to, regardless of how it fits the evidence or anything else, to deal with that thought.
Good point. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, here you have clashing presuppositions. The Christians should presuppose that God created the heavens and the earth. And if somebody, well, you know, let me just take a step back here a moment. Evidence. Just because you're presupposing God does not mean that you ignore the evidence. The data does matter in this regard. We're not just stepping out on faith, so to speak. It's what we're actually presupposing.
Very much. The thing that stirs me about it is that I think there is a lot of disregarding of evidence. I don't think that's right. I think regardless of what your presuppositions are, they need to be checked against the evidence.
A true scientist speaking there, but scientists don't like to do that. And what I said yesterday too, Chuck, I don't know if you heard the part of the show yesterday when I talked about the scientific method. The problem with any of the theory of origins, which is different than the theory of Darwinism, really, or even the spontaneous combustion, if you want to call it, of life here on Earth, is that it cannot be replicated, it cannot be observed, and therefore, according to the scientific method, it's not truly science. They cannot go back and create a Big Bang or anything else, or throw some chemicals in a pond and expose them to sunlight and have life emerge from them. It cannot be proven. It cannot be demonstrated. It cannot be even hypothesized about. All they have essentially is a vain guess based on their own speculation, which is no different than, as far as they're concerned, than faith. It shouldn't be any different as far as they're concerned than faith in God.
Right. I agree.
Okay.
You know,
okay, thanks for calling, Chuck. Appreciate the call this morning. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Chuck, are you still here?
Yeah.
There's a woman, she was a PhD in biology going around a few years ago. I guess she's still, that's the last I've heard of her, was a few years ago. She actually came to Clemson. And her name, first I saw her on Bill Buckley's, had a debate on creation evolution, and it was really the whole bunch of them were the blind leading the blind, the ones that were pro creation and the other ones were pro evolution. And this woman's name was Dr. Janie blank. I've drawn a blank on her last name, but what had happened, you know, Ken Ham and Walt Brown and the ICR people and others have been going around and displaying the foolishness of evolution. And evidently it had been begun, there was the crack in the monolith, you might say. And so these people started sending, they sicked her on the different college campuses and so forth to basically to refute these people like ICR, probably ICR and AIG being the most famous. Do you happen to remember or have you ever heard of this woman?
Doesn't ring a bell at all.
No. Sorry. Well, she. If you're interested, we'll have to get you the videotape when she came to Clemson. It was really a good presentation on her part as to where they all came down on all these things. See, they can live with, and she actually said that they can live with the people that the Bible believers that espouse things like the gap theory or the day age type of movement. And those people were close to them, and they could live with them, they could deal with them. They looked upon those people as true scientists. But when you get out to the situation where you had Henry Morris and Walt Brown and all these other people, those were the radical right-wingers that they couldn't abide.
Okay, Chuck, well, we really appreciate the phone call. Thanks a lot.
Okay, I'd love to see the video.
We'll get
together on that.
Okay.
Great. Have a good day.
All right.
Likewise.
Bye-bye. Sounds like Chuck was just getting to work there. Let me see. Well, I can see if I can turn off the right microphone there, whatever it is. All right.
Is mine still? Yeah, guess I'm still here.
You're still here, I think.
Okay, we're still flying the plane and on an even keel here.
Well, it's kind of like the stewardess flying the plane or something. There's always some question whether or not we'll land or what we'll do, even fly. It might just blow up in midair, but. Well, I want to remind folks of a few things. The tyrannyresponse.com website is the Tyranny Response Network's website. Please take some time and visit there because you're going to find some great information, including some information about events in the upstate. Today, the TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, informal meeting will be held at the China Walk Buffet on Pelham Road, right at I-85. You're encouraged to attend if you're interested in just meeting informally yours truly, as well as some others, advocates and supporters of the Tyranny Response Network. We meet there about 1:40 in the afternoon and stay there till about 3:30 or 4 usually. So you, by all means, come on by and greet everybody. Also, the events calendar shows that October still, Rip and Richie has not quite got it up yet for the November.
Another glitch in flying the plane.
Seems like it.
We'll be all right.
Yeah, another Rip and Richie. We should have that calendar up before too long. And I want to remind folks that tomorrow there will be a Carolina Patriots meeting on Woodruff Road at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant, right across from the Greenville Mall. Come at 12:30 if you can. If you can eat lunch with us. Otherwise, from 1 to 3 o'clock, we'll be having the regular meeting. They've invited me to speak there this Saturday, so I will be there. You'll be able to meet some people from TRN, and we hope to see you there. Also, on that tyrannyresponse.com website, you have the South Carolina fundamental rights petition to protect your private property. You can sign the petition by simply going to the tyrannyresponse.com website, scrolling down under the related media tab, and clicking on that link for protecting your fundamental rights. It takes about 30 seconds to sign the petition, and we encourage you to do so. Okay, Greg, let's go back up to what we were talking about here. When we get to the top of the hour, I think we'll do some of the news headlines. Let's finish up talking about creationism.
Okay. We were talking about how creation is the Word of God. The Bible actually propagates the doctrine that God created all things, and he did it in the beginning. There was nothing before God, and God instituted what we now live in, the creation. And Satan, the usurper, the ape, if you will, the copier of God, the one who would be as the Most High, set himself in the place of God, is the one who has come in and begins to teach various copies, false copies of the Word of God, of creation, of eschatology, of government. I've been thinking about asking you about some of the copies that Satan has put forth in forms of government and so forth. But if you wanted to stick with creation for a little while, we could handle that.
Well, of course, I'm more comfortable with public policy topics. I'm an interested listener and consumer of information about the other sciences. But I would say this, that I don't think Satan has put it in his copy of the state. I think the state is intrinsically linked to Satan in every aspect. Now, limited government is a different story, and they've been rare occurrences in the history of the world, and they always give way to states. In the same way that in Israel they wanted a king. They weren't satisfied with Samuel and the theocracy that God had with direct rule. They wanted to be like the other nations, they said, and so their limited government, or what they had there in place, some might say it was even an anarchy, that devolved into a state, an evil, egregious state, intrusive, interventionist state, and that's exactly what Satan likes. It's not an imitation, it's not a... it's not an aberration. It's a ploy. It's a artifact. It's not an artifact. A institution of Satan to promote his kingdom in this world, and that's what states have always done.
All right. Now let me go back here. Is the analogy of Satan being the ape of God valid here? What is the state of affairs wherein man ought to live?
Well, the state of affairs in terms of social policy.
Yeah,
how
should he interact with other people, other nations, other community groups? Just take, say, Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Just to maybe put this in a specific place. Abraham had other nations round about him.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, the tribes, whoever they were, however big they were, when Abraham came to bury his wife and buy a plot of ground, he wanted to buy this plot of ground, and the people in that territory or that part of the land, they said, "Oh, you know, what's this between you and I?" And of course, Abraham insisted on buying it.
Mm-hmm.
But in other words, all that demonstrating that there was a relationship between Abraham and his group, and he did travel with his own little army, I suppose. as I understand it, and there were other people that had the same thing. Let's take this up when we have another moment, because we do have to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
I am for doing good to the poor, but I differ in the opinions of the means. I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading them or driving them out of it. Benjamin Franklin.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
Zap! And we are now back with your next shock treatment. This is Greg Farrier, guest hosting with John Coben. And John's anxiously checking over the weather maps and everything else like that. So here is our acting meteorologist, Dr. John Coben.
Yes, you can just imagine me brooding over these things. Well, anyway, Greenville, Spartanburg is 52 degrees. Downtown, 52 degrees. That's downtown Greenville. Anderson, 41 degrees. Clemson, 50 degrees. I often wonder why they don't give on this weather service the downtown Spartanburg information, but they don't. So you have to suffer with just having the airport.
Watch out. The government may put up some sort of a tower in downtown Spartanburg.
One never knows.
Don't give them any excuse to do such a thing.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Today, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-70s, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. So it's going to be a nice day, it sounds like, on tap. A couple things in the headlines today we wanted to remind folks about, just let you know about. China and Vietnam confirm new bird flu cases. Okay, everybody else to be worried about bird flu. There have been 60 confirmed cases so far, and 6 billion people. That doesn't sound like much of a pandemic to me, but they're still worried. In Beijing, China and Vietnam each confirmed new bird flu outbreaks, which killed thousands of birds despite increased efforts to fight the disease. The Asian Development Bank warned that global flu pandemic could kill up to 3 million people in Asia and plunge the world into recession. Good grief. The latest Chinese outbreak, discovered on October 26th, killed 8,940 chickens and prompted officials to destroy 369,900 other birds in Bada Ohau, a village in
Liaoyang. Oh, right over there.
Yeah, right. We're province east of Beijing, the agriculture ministry said today. So no human, there have been no human outbreaks, just birds catching the flu. And there is no pandemic yet, but that's what they're reporting. Maybe they're getting us prepared to be scared or something. And here's something else. We have riots still spreading across France. And violence is reported in the far-off Marseille, Dijon, Rouen, and 400 cars burn in the Paris suburbs. So these people are going on an anarchic path, lawless path, I guess you could call it, in France. They're not happy with what's going on, with the way their government is running things. It's getting pretty explosive over there. It's going to be interesting to see what actually happens in France.
Now, John, there's something, you use the word anarchic, right? Anarchy and so forth.
Mm. Second definition.
Yeah, second definition. In other words, that's number two in the dictionary.
Right, chaos.
Chaos. Really, in other words, that's the way it should be under number two.
That's right.
Now, economists say anarchy, and it simply means no government.
Correct, yes. Right? And that's the way it's used in academic sense, political science and whatnot. But quite often when we're speaking in the vernacular, we use words like anarchy to describe chaos. And you can see why in the common man's language it became used that way as the primary use, because the other use is so rare for them to talk about. Why would they be talking about a theoretical paradigm where you have no state?
Observation here, John. We have a state there, France, and now we have chaos. The two of them existing side by side.
Always. That's the nature of the thing. You get the bigger the state, the more chaos you get. And chaos is not necessarily associated with anarchy as the political system. It may be, but if you look at the Book of the Judges and other places, while there was sin and bad things that happened, it was far worse under states, the lawlessness and the grief that went on.
Okay, does this article tell you anything about what has engendered this chaos?
Well, they're very upset about the Muslim. It's a Muslim issue in France. They're concerned about the people immigrating there, taking away their jobs and changing their culture and so forth, especially the North Africans. And that's what it's all about, as far as I know.
Yeah, we have a mentality like that around here. You know, Mexicans and foreigners coming in and taking our jobs, and when you have to get your service, your phone service or your computer service fixed, you have to talk somebody with an Indian accent, and that begins to upset us around here. Do you see anything? Does that alarm you at all? For our own situation, people are going to get so ticked off, they're going to start burning their computers or whatever.
I think they believe the Muslims there are bringing crime and other kinds of cultural recidivism, I guess, in the area in France. I don't think that's the thought about Mexicans. There's not that hard feeling towards them here. The Muslims are actually coming in and taking away middle class sort of jobs, and I think it's causing a greater grief for the people in France, apparently. I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking what New Fox News says. So, no, I don't think it's a great concern for us here yet. Also, we're traditionally a nation of immigrants. We don't have the national pride, so to speak, that these other countries have from their history of their ethnic line and so forth. We're a different kind of a country here.
A nation of immigrants or a country of immigrants?
Well, in the common vernacular, it's a nation of immigrants. Biblically, we are not a nation. And that's an interesting thing we'll bring up, too. That this fellow, what's his name, Chris Golden,
that's right,
attempted to refute the Tyranny Response Unit and his articles in the Times Examiner. He was very upset and drawing this up, and maybe Greg will want to read some of those things, but we can talk about them. But essentially, he created a straw man argument, something I didn't say, or something I might have alluded to, but built up his own case and then shot it down. And he's someone who is an immigrant basher and unfortunately did a very poor job of actually trying to tackle what the Bible says. You know, the word nation in the Greek part in the New Testament part of the Bible is the word genos, G-E-N-O-S. Doesn't that sound like genealogy? I mean, the word, and the other word is ethnos, the most common word, ethnos. Doesn't it sound like ethnicity? In fact, I think 93% of all occurrences of the word nation or nations in the New Testament have to do with that Greek word ethnos. Well, that's because the word nation is the large ethnic aggregate. It's a word that means not just a family, not just a clan, not just a tribe, but a nation, a huge number of related people. ethnically related people. That's what it means in the Bible, and the Hebrew is no different. And this guy just tries to avoid all that, saying that God ordained nationhood. Whatever that means, I mean, he has no scriptural backup for this. He tries to throw a few Bible verses out, but he does a very poor job. Unfortunately, I don't know who this fellow is, but at any rate, it was a good attempt. I appreciate reading some constructive criticism where people trying to take pot shots at what I have to say, but this one wasn't really a very good piece at all.
Do you think you might want to is there the possibility that in future editions of the Times Examiner that you might want to answer this fellow, or the people should?
I don't think it's worth my time. I mean, anybody who reads that compared to the work I did, I don't think there's going to see much of a reason for me to do that. You might want to write a letter to the editor, Greg, or someone else,
mm-hmm.
Just a short editor saying, "Look, why did you miss the point here? Why did you? He's trying to push his agenda. He hates illegal immigrants so much that he's trying to push force the Bible to somehow support his position politically. And that's always dangerous. It's what we call eisegesis. He's essentially forcing the scriptures to say what he needs it to say to be, convenient for his political position.
Rather than coming from within the Bible, it comes from without the Bible.
Correct.
Eisegesis.
Yes. So, anyway, we could have a quick look at that. I'm going to do a couple quick ads here, if I can. We might as well. I want to remind folks that we need volunteers here at the Tyranny Response Network, not only to help produce the Christian Worldview Show. Like today, I'm flying the plane while Greg Ferrier's here getting a good entertainment watching me try to do that. We really need someone to substitute for at least a day every other week and maybe a day a week, and just learn how to handle the production facilities in the Greenville area. If you're able to help with that, or with help with other things, including tacking up antennas and working on computer networks and so forth, we need your assistance. Please go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and click the Contacts tab. Anybody's email that's there, go ahead and send them an email, and we'll put you in touch with the people you need to talk with for getting involved. Thanks so much for supporting the Tyranny Response Network, by the way. And here's another advertisement from one of our important sponsors. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? The power of positive change is in your hands when you vote for libertarians. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. The Greenville Business Meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Augusta Road, north of I-85, one block before reaching Malden Road. Visitors are welcome. The Spartanburg Monthly Meeting is on the first Thursday of the month at 6:30 p.m. in the private dining room at the Beacon Drive-In. That was last night. Hope it went well last night. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground. It's at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thanks for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network.
All right. The advertisements are done with for the moment?
Correct.
Okay. How much time do we have left here?
We have 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
2 minutes and 30 seconds, and we can continue with our discussion of the aping or the parroting of God's word by those who would be the enemies of Christ. Where were we a moment ago talking in...
We were talking about this Golden guy's article.
Yeah, I know the Golden guy, but there was something before that. I'd like to take up Mr. Golden a little later.
Okay.
What were we actually talking about a moment ago?
Well, Greg, I can't fly the plane and remember what we were supposed to be talking about.
Oh, good heavens.
You know, I mean,
it's
like two things at once. That would require me to, like, chew gum and walk at the same time.
Oh, my. Oh, all right. Well, just pay attention to the plane, and my whole theme for these last couple of segments has been copies of the Word of God, Satan's false copies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually talking to you, now I know where we were, about Abraham and the nations round about him. We weren't talking about billions of people on the earth. They had just come through not long ago with the Great Flood. And now the nations were beginning to bud out. You had the Egyptians, and you had the Chaldeans, and you had the Canaanites, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were traders. They would come up out of from Mesopotamia over the Fertile Crescent, down through Palestine, on into Africa. And there's where they would do their trading. They weren't all just sitting there in isolation. Some perhaps were isolated, in as far as we understand the history of the world, but there was this gathering together. So we've run out of time there. Let's take this up right after the break, okay? And he nods okay.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of the blessings. The inherent blessing of socialism is the equal sharing of misery. Winston Churchill.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, for some reason, that did not work. I'm still puzzled about some of these buttons. We need to get our producer, Daniel, back in here. It'll help us solve these things. Well, let me give you...
Well, they all have to have their little vacation or their time off, so...
Well, they deserve time off. I'm the only one that has to work, you know, every day.
Oh,
and stuff.
Poor fella.
You know, I mean, I'm the one that... I deserve it, because I'm the guy in front of the mic here. I should be the one that has to be punished, never get a vacation. Actually, vacation time is coming up for me, December 3rd through the 7th. I'm not going to be here. And who's going to be here? You are, for 1 week.
Yeah, for one part of it, yes.
And Pastor Tony Romo, for our local Constitution Party pastor, is going to be here for the rest. I shouldn't say that. He's a local Baptist pastor who happens to be part of the Constitution Party. I made it sound like his primary focus was on politics, and I don't think that's true. But anyway, here's a quick plug for our good friends at the Times Examiner. In spite of the fact that they published this nonsensical piece by Golden,
Be nice to him, John.
He's trying. Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
The Times Examiner is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. The Palmetto State, excuse me. Somebody corrected my pronunciation on that some time ago. I'd never quite inculcated it into my. My vocabulary.
Be reverent when you talk about Palmettos.
Palmettos, that's right. Okay.
They help stave off the Union.
Okay.
For a little while.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists. That's pro-life libertarian columnists, including yours truly, Dr. Walter Williams, and Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasky, and others.
Yours truly, and Dr. Williams.
Yeah. Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
I thought maybe I was sitting here next to Dr. Williams.
I haven't changed my skin color yet, but I'm not sure. A leopard can change his spots, at any rate. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. Of course, you can pick up a Times Examiner copy around at newsstands around Greenville, or you can order a full-year subscription by calling 864-268-0576. It's only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state, delivered to your mailbox every Wednesday, 864-268-0576. To place an ad in the Times Examiner, call David directly at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Hope you'll be able to take advantage of this great paper. It comes out every week. We also have, I forgot to mention earlier on the Fox News headlines, in case someone's interested in knowing about it before we go back to talk about nations, that Oakland, the city of Oakland, seizes land and swaps a retailer. Revelli Tire has been family-owned business in Oakland, California for 56 years, but if action by the city council remains on course, the tire store will have to find a new home or go the way of the dinosaur. In July, using the power of eminent domain, the Oakland City Council evicted John Revelli from his store and locked the doors. The council's argument, one landowner should not impede the progress of a city on the move. So there we go. It's another type of Kelo decision, and it's probably not going to go well for property rights. Of course, this stuff happens here in Greenville, too, but I just wanted to mention that so we can keep our eye on that story as it comes along.
Did somebody say property rights there?
Well, no one said it. I said it.
Yeah, I know. And you're the one that said it. A lot of it has to do with property rights. John, may I digress for a moment about something coming up in Pickens County?
Yeah.
The another form of a land grab going on. We have an election coming up in Pickens County, and it has to do with a penny tax. And the way it has been presented, it's either you pay the penny tax or we're going to have to increase your property taxes. And talking about articles in papers, I wrote something to the Easley Progress, but nobody, it didn't get in there, but I wrote it to the Times Examiner, and thankfully they put this article in there, having to do with comparing the public schools with a socialistic system. And trying to make people wonder, hey, why in the world are my property taxes going up? Why are the schools demanding all this money? There are a tremendous amount of disparities in the way the money is being allocated and the way people suggest that it should be allocated.
Are you thinking these people are corrupt over there, too, at Pickens County? It seems like there's some concern about that.
I have my suspicions, and so do others. In conversation, that word does come up, where people are... One of the suggestions of a plan and how to distribute the wealth, I don't think that this wealth needs to be put into the public schools. That's the first bedrock of the problem there. They're taking public money and spending it. They're taking it out of our pockets or out of our land and putting it into an institution that is a socialistic institution, which is teaching the kids a socialistic system, an evolutionary system, and so forth. Anyway, back to the there is one plan that there are several schools in the county. I mean, a lot of schools in the county. Some are in more disrepair than others. And, of course, I have the question of how come that got so bad. Then there's the other question of why are all of the schools getting the money except and not putting a monetary emphasis where it needs to be, where the schools are in disrepair or in need of a new situation. And there, one of the people on the school board, have the lone wolf, as it were, who is, has a reasonably sound economic plan, says there's a tremendous disparity in how much money will actually be extorted from the people. Mm. To the tune of I've heard $100 million difference between the two plans, all because of one group wants an equal. Everybody wants a piece of the pie, and everybody and the size of the pie is beginning to determine what the actual amount of money going out actually is. So if this is true, that there's a $100 million difference between one plan and the other, you know, $100 million doesn't go real well in a population like Pickens County.
No, it sure doesn't. But anyway, this kind of stuff goes on at probably in every county in America. And it just so happens that because you live in Pickens County, you're able to see it up close and personal, so to speak. I think a lot of times these parasites get better at concealing their craft in what they're doing. The public school is especially nefarious and especially capable of manipulating people, and it sounds like that's what they're doing. They're just spending public money over there to promote their own.
And that's illegal. That's something that they've been reported to the State Ethics Commission.
Well, when has the law ever stopped a public school commission? I mean, nobody's going to throw them out. They're going to violate the law and say they're sorry and go on their way. It's kind of like saying to the judge saying to the jury, now I want you to ignore that testimony you just heard. They've already heard it. So here they are. They're going to be able to say they're sorry, walk away, and there will be no reprisals, and yet their point of view will get pushed out.
Yeah. You know what chutzpah is, John?
No.
You don't know what chutzpah is?
Mm-mm.
That's a Yiddish word.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way I've ever heard it described was when the man comes before the judge and he's been accused of and found guilty of murdering his mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, real chutzpah means that the man goes out and he says to the judge to have mercy on him because he's an orphan.
Mm. Okay.
Okay, that's chutzpah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a whole lot of that going on around in the local politics. Oh, gee, we're sorry that we spent all this public money on electioneering and so forth. We know it's legal. It's illegal. But you were sorry, and we're sorry we, but we're happy we won the election or something like that. That all comes up on Tuesday.
Right.
The Battle of the Titans, the people that are trying to stop it and the people that are in the government that are propagating. I'm amazed at how much little subtleties they throw in into their campaign. Yeah, little deception tactics.
Well, everybody vote no against the taxes on Tuesday. I can tell you that much. Don't go along with funding the public school anymore. The best thing that can happen to Pickens County, let it be the first in America, eliminate the public school. Let them all get so deteriorated and bad that no one will go there anymore. It'd be a wonderful thing. Yes, all the teachers have to go get a job somewhere else, maybe even move out of the county, but it wouldn't be a great loss.
Yeah, well, how about propagating sometime? I tried to do this at one time, competition for the public schools.
Mm.
Of course, there's a little bit of it here and there. It's small and it's weak, but
the easy way to do that is just eliminate the property tax. If they get no money by compulsory requirements, coercive requirements on the populace, then they're going to have to go out and compete for dollars like everyone else. That the key is to eliminate property or even sales taxes that would support the nefarious institution.
How is that? And that's a feudal system, is it not?
Feudal or feudal?
Well, probably both.
Okay, all right.
All right. Feudal. Is that how you spell feudal? Like something that I'd always grown up hearing the feudal system is something you didn't want to be in. It was the way
terrible.
The landowner oppressed the tenant or the tenant farmer.
Well, don't get it confused with manorialism, but both of those things are very oppressive states. And the property tax is left over. Well, it is still our continuation of feudalism. We've never had a purely a lowly system here in America. Before we go to the break, I'm going to mention just a couple other things people have sent in. Mr. Stewart sent in a note to us letting us know that the No State Project will debut this Saturday, November 5th at 7 p.m. Central Time. The show is on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which we play replays of occasionally here on the Tyranny Response Network. This is the only show on the radio dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society, that is, no government. He says he's very excited to host his own radio show and hope you can tune in and so forth. So here, this is interesting because you have some guy actually advocating anarchy in the first sense of the first definition sense of the word, not chaos, but he just wants to get rid of the state entirely, and that's interesting stuff. Then we had a couple of interesting quotes come in, and one from the research staff. Today's blacks clearly benefited from slavery, says Walter William. My wealth is far greater, and I have far greater liberties than if my ancestors had remained in Africa. Wow, only a black man could get away with saying something like that. And it's definitely right. And we also had something about Satan's workshop, speaking of the power of the press in 1848. Thought I'd mention this quickly before we go to the bottom of the hour break. I don't want Satan to outwit us, says J.A. James, speaking of the power of the press. After all, we are not ignorant about Satan's scheming, 2 Corinthians 2:11. The press is a great power of evil. Infidel and immoral writers are pounding forth a deluge of skepticism and vice, which are depositing a pernicious and pestiferous slime over the minds of the people. Well, that sounds good, a pestiferous slime.
You can use that word again, John, right, if you like, in another context.
Well, in other countries, like in Spanish, peste, which is where this comes from, the Latin, the same root, means plague. So I suppose that's what this means, pestiferous slime. Let it be imagined, if imagined it can be, what must be the state of the multitudes in this country when millions of pestiferous politicians are annually going out among the masses of our population. Let the minds of all Christian people dwell upon the insult offered to God, the ruin brought upon souls, the injury done to morals, and the mischief perpetrated to the nation by such a state of things. These ungodly publications originate from Satan's workshop and reflect the scenes of a dreadful laboratory of mental poison. Those authors, printers, publishers, booksellers, vendors by myriads, are all busy and indefatigable.
Yeah,
it's a word you read, don't usually say.
Okay.
To do what? To destroy the Bible, to corrupt the mind, to pull down the cross, to dethrone God, to subvert true religion, to turn a man into a speaking brute, to overturn all morality, to poison the springs of domestic happiness, to dissolve the ties of social order, to involve our country in ruin. Satan and all his emissaries upon the earth are in earnest in ruining men's souls. We have an evil to contend with, so gigantic is its strength, so diffused in its influence around us, so infectious and malignant its effect. The enemy is coming in like a flood. Infidelity and morality are invading us. The alarm bell must be ringing. And he wrote this article in 1848. Well, that's what they thought then. Guess what? It's even worse now. Well, there's some other stuff on here. I don't think I...
That's a biography of the James Angle James.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, we'll just leave that
John
off
Angle
now.
We're
a little bit late for the break, so I'll let you take us off to the break. Make your final comment, and we'll go to the break here, Greg.
Okay, that was sent in by our friend and listener, Ron Creech, and he sent that out to the Tyranny Response Network. And if you're out there listening, Ron, thanks a whole bunch. All right, it looks like he's ready to push the button, and here we go.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont. Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else. Frederick Bastiat.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, guest host with Greg Ferrier today, this fourth day of November 2005. Greenville, Spartanburg, 52 degrees. Downtown Greenville, 52 degrees. Anderson, 46 degrees. Clemson, 50 degrees. Today, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-70s. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Should be a beautiful day.
All right, looks like we have about 24 minutes more of this flight. And while we're on the flight, let's look at a little reading material here. The World Views Project announces the publication of World Views, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism by our own friend Dr. Stephen Yates. And the book is orderable from the World Views Project, care of Dr. Stephen Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. All checks should be made out to the World Views Project. This is a limited-time offer. Regular cover price will be $20.99 upon official publication September. Well, I'm reading. It is out there, and I've actually got my copy. The Constitution Party price, do the Libertarians get a break on this too?
They do, $2 off.
Okay, so that brings it to $18.99 plus $2.50 shipping and handling. And it's a book that deals with worldviews, and there are different views of things, and there is a Christian worldview or Christian theism versus modern materialism. Let's get out there, get that book, and see what Dr. Yates has to say about this. Dr. Yates, by the way, is quite an expert on these free trade agreements coming out. I'll say that incidentally. And I'm going to see if I can get a hold of him, see if I can get him on the show here in December when you're away, John.
Good. Well, he'll be at lunch today at the China Walk Buffet with the rest of us starting about 1:40 in the afternoon till about 3:30. So come on by if you'd like, or anyone else can, to meet Dr. Yates and I and continue on with talking about TRN.
Yeah, well, I have some things that I have to do today. I can't make the China Walk, but please invite him or have him give me a call, and we'll see if we can get him on the show and discuss his book or the free trade agreements. You know, that was on the news. I heard that getting up this morning, that President Bush is either heading for or planning on a trip to South America to begin to propagate, begin to get the ball rolling on the free trade agreement of the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently he's begun again in earnest, or the propaganda for this is begun again in earnest.
Yes. Well, by the way, we have another book we're going to be starting to talk about besides my current book, Bible and Government. Mr. Gregg is actually helping with some of the technical features of this new book. It's sitting right next to him. It's a draft copy of my new book that's coming out next year. It'll be should be, you know, actually off the press and on the shelves somewhere. It's called The Christian Theology of Public Policy: Highlighting the American Experience. It's not only an extension of Bible and Government. It's a more thoroughgoing piece that deals just with some of those essential theological elements that we have to have, we have to cover if we're going to have a public policy theology that's biblical, such as the notion of self-defense, or what is a nation, and many other topics. So Gregg may want to talk about that a little bit today. We'll be talking about that more and more as time goes on, of course. But today, once again, you know, you notice on the headlines, we have Palestinians hit by sonic boom air raids. And who are the real terrorists? Here is Israel. Is it the nation of Israel? Israel is deploying a terrifying new tactic against Palestinian civilians in their Gaza Strip by letting loose deafening sound bombs that cause widespread fear, induce miscarriages, and traumatized children. Well, okay, so I guess that's a way of terrorizing. But I was interested in the word nation that's used around here. We've talked about that several times today. We probably want to get back to talking about that whole issue of nations, don't we?
Yeah. You know, that reminds me, I was having a conversation with a fellow the other day and talking about the nation of Israel and what's going on over there in Palestine. And is Israel really a nation? You have Africans claiming to be Jews. You have, the people of Eastern Europe coming down there and populating that land. And, of course, when the Israelites were scattered back in biblical times, there were a lot of, when I say New Testament times, after Rome basically had many of them to flee, and even before that, when the ten tribes were actually lost.
Yeah.
When before Nebuchadnezzar came down and took over Judah, you had the Assyrians come and take the ten tribes away.
Yeah.
And those people were scattered. So ethnic Israel is a really small portion of the world.
Right. And it's not even clear that they can be traced back to being ethnic Israel. That's another question. When God told Rebecca, "There are two nations in your womb," meaning Jacob and Esau, he meant that the two men in the womb there, the two children, babies, would become men, and their own families would evolve into huge nations, not just tribes, not just clans. They would become actually nations of people in this ethnic aggregate.
Evolution evolve in the proper sense of the word.
Yes.
Pardon me for the interruption.
It's a proper word. It's just been misused by scientists. Just like the word gay. There's nothing wrong with us saying, so and so is a gay person. You know, in terms of our language, that means he's happy. But of course, nowadays it's been so corrupted that we have to be careful in how we use it, because people are going to take it the wrong way. The first definition has become completely abused and ruined, because it now means a homosexual. But anyway, the idea was, if you're part of the nation of Israel today, it meant that you had to be actually a physical, genetic descendant of Jacob. That's what it has to be, who was renamed Israel later on. If you're not, then you're not truly of the nation of Israel. The fact that you're in the political boundaries that men have structured around the territory of Palestine does not make you a member of the nation of Israel in a biblical sense. Now, it does in the modern vernacular, because we use that word nation interchangeably with a person's country or a person's land or his citizenship. These kinds of things all go hand in hand, but the biblical concept is very different.
Let me throw something that's interesting to me. I met an Iraqi man shortly after the war began over there, and he is an engineer. And he was educated here. His children have all married Americans and so forth. So he's pretty much, he's an Iraqi, but he's pretty much acclimated to American society. And he was telling me that he was not a Muslim. He was what he called a Coptic Christian. And you know, when I asked him, I said, "Are you a Muslim?" And he and his wife both, you know, brightened up, and it was their opportunity to say, "No, we're not. We are Christians."
And now, Coptics, they're not exactly evangelicals, are they? Well, they deny the Trinity or something like that?
I don't know what all about that. I, you know, like so many religions or branches of Christianity, there are, you know, variations in this. Yeah, you're right in that sense, but, you know, they're all the breakaways from, you know, there's Baptist and there's Baptist.
Yeah.
But my point being, the place I wanted to go to was, he said that... and of course, in Eastern Europe and in the Arabic countries, places like that, a lot of them are very concerned for their family heritage, and they go back to ancient times. And he says that I don't know if it's legend has it or their traditions say that some of these Iraqi people were actually the children of the people that were lost the 10 tribes were taken out in the first invasion, so they trace their lineage back there. It's time for a break, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
That we are here to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public. Theodore Roosevelt.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
All right, now we're back. And Dr. Coben is flying the plane and telling me when to talk. And here we go. John, in this article in October 26th of the Times Examiner, Nationhood, a Divinely Created Institution, Chris Golden. Seems to me I should know him from somewhere. We have something I noticed in looking over this thing here. It's a quote from President Reagan. It says here, President Reagan captured this principle best when he said, "You can't go to Japan and be a Japanese, or go to France and be a Frenchman, or go to Poland and be a Pole, but you can come to America and be an American." In other words, you might be able to immigrate to Japan, for example, and assimilate into Japanese culture. However, you can never be Japanese. if you are not of the Japanese race, but if you are of any race, you can immigrate to the United States, assimilate into American culture, and be an American. Well, does that mean that America is a nation, or is America a state, or is it a government? I think you have to try this again, Mr. Gold. Could you answer that? Well, the whole defect in the article seems to be that he's putting his own definition of nation on this. He doesn't like John's definition, and what I believe is the biblical definition of nations. And you have to discern between what is a nation and what is a nation state and what is an actual government or what is a state.
Yes. The political boundaries set up for a state are often called a nation today, but America is not a nation in a biblical sense. It's comprised of people from many nations who are mixed together, but in the old sense of the term, in the Bible sense, or using Reagan's, you know, if you look at old France or old Japan, the people that would be derived from one particular ethnic stock that in an aggregate sense would become the nation. Now, the church is different, isn't it? Because we are people from every nation, tribe, kindred, tongue, and people. Isn't it interesting how they use all those different ways of describing one ethnic group in the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and elsewhere in the scriptures? That is what the church has become. We are the composite, the aggregate of, or the conglomeration of many, many different nations, all with one common purpose, and all with one new biblical sense of being a nation. Weren't you reading something there in Galatians that had to do with exactly what a nation is in a biblical sense?
Well, talking about Paul talks in Galatians 3, 15 and 16, where he's talking about who is the true Jew. And he says that it's interesting that in the he's referring back to the promise to Abraham, where Paul says, "And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but unto seed, which is thy seed, which is Christ." And then he goes on to say that if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that tells me that the promises are not to ethnic Israel, but the promises are to spiritual Israel. And if you look at that again, he's saying, and the promise is not to all the Jews or all the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so forth, but the promise is, it doesn't exclude the Jew, as some people might want to think, but it includes all anyone who would come to Christ, anyone who would be in Christ, are the true Jews, like he says in Romans 2. Circumcision is not of the outward man, but it's of the heart. If your heart has been circumcised and been cleansed of its impurities by the work of Christ, then you are a true Jew, and you are one inwardly, and not necessarily one outwardly. So a Jew, a man of Israel, of the stock of Abraham, of the nation, he can be a Christian as long as his heart has been circumcised, as long as he is in Christ. And you can get the African or the Chinese, whoever, as long as his heart has been his or her heart has been circumcised, and as long as you are in Christ, then you are part of that nation.
And this is that I agree 100%. Of course, this is great biblical truth. So yeah, this is perfect stuff. But I want to skip back because we have about 7 minutes left here. The thing that people are doing with Golden article, or they're following the Golden kind of reasoning here, is trying to force upon the Bible their understanding of the way the world should be politically, and using the Bible to somehow back them up. And that's a dangerous thing to do. What people really want to do, who are nationalists in the crass sense of the term, is they want to look at America as a special or a God-ordained nation for promoting Christian faith or Christian civil religion, I guess. And that is exactly what he is about in this particular article. He's trying to say, we hate illegal immigrants. I'm going to support Tancredo and his agenda, because as a nation, America is ordained by God, and we have a special purpose to not allow these corruptors of our culture and so forth to come in here and, you know, illegally participate in economic system, the social system, and so forth, and ruin us. and that it's a violation of somehow of God's word for that to be the case. And this is just preposterous in the first place. It's wrong on a biblical and exegetical point of view in the second place. And those who support reform of immigration or who oppose illegal immigration need to look elsewhere than to trying to build up these kinds of house of cards sort of arguments to support their position. You've got enough other rationale for supporting their position than to try to force the Bible to say something that it doesn't. A biblical nation has nothing to do with the political structure that is thrust upon the territory that we call America today. That is not a biblical nation. If my people which are called by my name, blah, 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 does not apply to America, in 2 Chronicles 2:7-14. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord refers to an ethnic people, not to the people of America, because they happen to be living in this political structure, the boundaries or the territory of the United States of America. If righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, another scripture that is abused, that does not refer to righteousness exalting the nation of America in the modern sense, where the people who live in the boundaries of America will be somehow exalted by if there's righteousness somehow in the land. The fact that there are a few Christians here does not make a Christian nation. We are not a Christian nation in a biblical sense, never have been.
Yeah, how about the application of that? It's often used and I think abused. If my people, which are called by my name, shall
humble themselves
and so forth. I can see where it has a biblical Christian application, but are you going to call the United States to do that?
No, you can't, because it's talking about individuals and families, clans, tribes. If a people is known to be in the covenant, in God's grace, in God's favor, doing the work of God, then they will be blessed on a family level. The fact that some people do that, or even many people do that, does not mean that everybody inside a political structure, as if God honors political structures made by men, boundaries set by men, are going to in some way be blessed by virtue of the fact that a few people have done some righteousness. It doesn't mean that. The particular family involved, the particular tribe, the particular nation, those will be blessed if they do turn to faith in God. And we see this happen time and again, not only in the Bible, but in our own heritage. Look at Jonathan Edwards and his great family and what's happened since then. Many people, I don't know where they are today, but for generations, his family was blessed. And it never grew to the size, perhaps, of being a nation, but his clan or tribe or so forth was certainly blessed in the doing of good and righteousness and obedience to God. God prospered them in their way, gave them long lives, gave them much intelligence and much influence in this world, and that's what we can hope for. Not only besides the fact that they're spiritually blessed with salvation, which of course is the paramount thing.
Of course, now on the other hand, God is not limited to just families. You look at the Great Awakening, and you had the Germans the German settlers up in where I come from in New Jersey and New York and places like that. They had their own version of the Great Awakening, and some of the great evangelists, German evangelists. We usually only hear of the English, the George Whitfields, the Jonathan Edwards, and Isaac Backus, and the others, but there were the other Frelinghuysen, and the people that evangelized and propagated the German Reformed awakenings, and they were also in the early 1800s amongst the German people living in New York, and that all spread out to the English-speaking and the Irish and so forth.
Well, German people might be considered a nation in a biblical sense. So you're talking about ethnic aggregate. It spread to another ethnic aggregate.
Yeah, but it was not just the gospel when the Germans, who perhaps traded with an Englishman or something, that spilled over, just like Rahab. God was not limited to Israel. There was a Canaanite that God took in.
And correct, and this is why it's so preposterous for us to be worried about nations anymore today, because in the church we have people from every kindred, tribe, nation, and tongue. That's what the scripture tells us. We're a holy nation, God's peculiar, special people, and a royal priesthood, as 1 Peter 2:9 tells us. We are not in any way or shape or form confined or bound by nationhood anymore, because our nation is now the church, We are a new nation that is composed of all sorts of ethnic groups in the world. People who are nationalists, who hold America, the political organization, on a pedestal as some kind of special God-ordained thing to that is unlike other nations, has a special significance, are missing the boat when they try to put it on par with the nation, like the church would be called the holy nation. It's not the same thing. America has been blessed because there have been Christians here. The political governance of the United States at its founding was wonderful, but it was not because of the because God looked upon it as a political structure he wanted to bless, but because there were so many good people here. Now, Greg, you take the last minute. We have 1 minute to go, and go ahead and comment, and then we'll be done.
Okay. How about a I was going to ask you to comment on this, but I think I can handle it. 4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth onto this continent a new what? Oh, that made him turn around.
Yeah, well he's just used again. The common vernacular is not necessarily reflect what the biblical meaning of nation was. And of course, anything Abraham Lincoln says is just makes you sick to your stomach.
Yeah, well, that my point being that we need to be careful about how we actually use the nation, because people grab a hold of that and they make kids memorize that that whole thing about a nation, and so we do have to be careful about how it's actually defined. Well, are we a nation
under God, indivisible, blah, nonsense. Don't ever say that. The pledge is not worth it. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've hit 9 o'clock. It's time to go, and we thank you for listening. We look forward to having you back here once again on Monday morning, and until then, God bless you.
And my sentiments exactly.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us at 7:30 Monday morning right here on TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, for another installment of Christian Worldview.